Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heavy Pod is Heavycast, episode 193, sponsored by Lil Pump.
194, no?
Numbers lockdown. Are an imperial construct, remember?
Right, yeah, lockdown edition.
No, it's 193.
Oh, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Lockdown sounds like a hardcore band.
We're all gonna fucking die. That also sounds like a hardcore band.
Yeah, but like lockdown's like brocore, and we're all gonna fucking die is like nailscore.
Lockdown sounds like a body count track.
Nah, I was thinking of like throwdown.
Throwdown, yeah, for sure. What's up? How do you feel, man?
I'm feeling better, but I was feeling better last Sunday too. So we'll see if I'm feeling not better tomorrow.
So like, okay, you didn't get tested, but do you think it was like the thing?
I don't know. I mean, like I got tested for a general viral panel, and all of that came negative. But then I didn't get tested for coronavirus because I wasn't severe enough, and I still haven't had like severe symptoms. So on one hand, like it's who knows what I had. You know, there are a bunch of viruses out there. But it seems like I live in a high community transmission area, like
AKA
the second highest in the
United
US.
States.
No, but like the second highest county in the United States in terms of like community transmission, other than like Washington. That being said, like, you know, my symptoms have been like pretty mild for the most part, but it did feel weird and like not like your usual flu or your seasonal cold, right? It was weird. But who knows? Hopefully I did have it and it's that's it. And then I develop immunity. Maybe we don't know if you can actually develop immunity to it, but
yeah.
So I don't know, but I mean, hopefully I did have it and hopefully it is this mild for everyone. That's all I can say.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it is what it is. Not much we can do about it. And just what we can do about it is stay home, wash our hands, don't
deep throat doorknobs. Idiot. Yeah, don't deep throat doorknobs, yeah. But also don't do like things that I actually see people doing. Like, okay, so Israel is in that spot where we acted pretty fast, but the numbers are, you know, starting to accelerate. And there's like a semi-quarantine, so like non-essential businesses are open. Restaurants can only do deliveries, stuff like that, but it's not a full quarantine yet. Like, I can go outside right now and no one's going to say anything.
Quarantine.
Sorry?
Fall quarantine. F-A-U-X quarantine.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. I don't care anymore. Sure.
Bring that beat back.
Yeah. Oh, God. God damn it. I'd rather fucking have a virus than listen to that meme once again. Anyway, I've been staying indoors but my window opens up to the street. So I see like 60 plus year old people just walking around. I'm like, don't do that. Stay home. What the fuck are you doing? It's insane. So I don't know which way it's going to go
just
here.
Just the North Star, you're already dead.jpg.
Yep. So I hope we can break that 33% increase. We can break that shit.
The problem has been so far that, you know, governments have been excessively incompetent in addressing it, not just in terms of, you know, taking measures, but also like in terms of misinformation.
Yeah.
That has been, you know, that has led to the situations like the one you described where people are like doing things that they probably shouldn't be doing, but they don't really know better because there's so much misinformation out there.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not blaming it on them. It's like, it's like it's not just misinformation. It's also like, let's say you give all the information, but you do it badly, or you don't do it. It's not inspiring enough, you know, because people have to change their lives. And the thing is, if you look at Israel, for example, I just read an article about this today. The health services have been slowly getting more and more defunded over the last 20 years. So forget the beds and all that stuff, which is concerning. But also, like, you know who the first people who got laid off are? All the PR folks that do, like, for the medical establishment. All those people were deemed non-essential, which they aren't essential. But now when you need to, like, communicate an epidemic or a pandemic, sorry, who? I guess I can call that a pandemic now.
The P word. You've given me,
the P word, exactly. So, like, you don't have those people because you fired them. So now, for us, you know, people are relying on, well, the Prime Minister, who might not be the Prime Minister anymore soon. God, I hope so. But also, like, the head of the Department of Health, who's, like, a charismatic person, but that's not good enough. You need, like, an array of people, and we just don't have those because we defunded all that shit.
Yep. And, I mean, I don't think I need to detail the situation here in America.
Yeah.
If I somehow need to, it's just, like, every time there's a press conference, every time there's just misinformation and, like, denial, and it's like, oh my, like, ah.
So I had an interesting thought. You know, we don't have a lot of, like, metal shit to talk about, so I wanted to float this your way. I have, like, this group of friends, and we talk politics, so we've obviously been talking about the virus. And one of the questions that we raised is the union at risk over this crisis?
The union?
So the federation, like the United States... Yeah, no. United States, like, as in the state of the union.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the argument. Like, the federal government is botching this so hard that local and state level government have to step up. In some places, they aren't stepping up. But more interestingly, in some places, they are. And then they started to come in direct conflict with the federal government.
Yeah.
For example... I know it seems unlikely, but if you actually look into the state, you'll find that it's an interesting place, Kentucky, where they replaced their governor, and he's actually doing really good stuff against this thing, and being very bold about what needs to be done. So what happens if it comes to, like, an explosion of the disease in Kentucky, and the federal government is tying his hands and not letting him, like, literally save the lives of people? That could bring someone to the brink of seceding, right?
I mean, we've seen kind of similar situations with, like, Puerto Rico and the hurricane. We've seen Flint, Michigan and the water situation.
Yeah.
I feel like America has just such a strong tendency to be, like, I don't know, America, that I see a hard time. I don't see that happening.
Yeah. So that was my position, but then I offered, like, a softer version of it that... At least it, like, for sure cast a different light on the relationship between state governments and federal government, right?
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, it suddenly, maybe for the first time in a long time, if they lived in, like, an affluent and stable place, it suddenly showed them, like, the problems in the federal government and the differences between it and state government. I don't know. It's an interesting question.
Yeah, I think it'll take a lot more for America to kind of break its tendencies, but it would be... indeed worthwhile at least seeing how it goes in terms of like shattering some of the notions we have of, like, what America is and ought.
Interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting spin on it that I considered for the first time this week.
But America is, like, too stubborn, I feel like, so I don't know.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. Maybe this is it's going to be big enough to shake them out of it. Okay, but people didn't come here to listen to us talking about, like, shit that everybody's talking about, so let's talk about music.
Speaking of things that are big enough to shake you out of something, we don't have literally anything this week, but... So one interesting thing kind of related to the virus situation is the Code Orange thing, which I don't know if you followed the story...
No, I haven't.
So they were supposed to do this album release show, but because of the virus situation, the show got canceled. So instead, they decided to stream it. But they didn't just stream a concert. They did, like, a whole production with, like, you know, many camera angles, like, really pro shot, and also, like, special effects overlaid on top of the performance, like... you know, that song that has the music video with the cadaver or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, that had... they had shots from that interlaced and then, like, overlaid on top of the singer, like, all this, like, weird stuff.
Interesting.
It was pretty cool to check out. Like, I'm not a big fan of Code Orange, and, like, I don't want to be a fan of Code Orange, but I'm definitely more interested in seeing bands... go more and more in this space. A, because of, like, necessity from the virus. I think bands should do this to kind of, you know, drum up some money in these trying times. But Also, bands should in general be doing more of these kind of one-off, or not necessarily one-off, but like interactive, live-ish kind of weird things. I think it's a pretty untapped area that needs to be tapped more.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like, it's a bit sad that we needed a crisis of this size to like, you know, I actually hadn't thought of it up until now. We've been talking about how fragile and broken the music industry is for like, basically since we've been doing this cast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is like a good time, well, not good, but like an opportune time to, for people to see how it actually works. Like, imagine, okay, there's no coronavirus outbreak or whatever. Just quote unquote, a band give the flu to each other, right? Mm-hmm. And they have to cancel their tour. And they're in the same position they are now. They're like $7,000 in debt each because they had to cancel these shows. Do you think that's cool just because it's not a global outbreak? Do you think that's a sane way for an industry to run where the artists pay everything up front and like take all the risk? Oh, you're doing a
capitalism thing. Okay.
I'm doing a music industry thing.
I'm kidding.
Even bands that have labels, right? Just lose so much money when they have to cancel a tour. It's just ridiculous. Now it's happening on such a scale that people have to pay attention. And I hope that they do. And bringing the beat back. I did it. To what you said, I think it's a good thing for bands to, like you said, experiment with the format of what they do and explore new ways. And I also like that they didn't just go to Twitch and said, we're doing this out of necessity. Hey, we're like digital now, so we can do digital shit like overlays and effects and stuff like that.
Yep, and not necessarily every band can afford to do all the fancy stuff, but, you know, like, just get a camera, just get a laptop, and just stream your show, like, Trivium, like, Dragon Force. And, of course, like, Matt Heafy is, like, partnered with Twitch, so they gave him, like, this, backpack streaming rig. So it's, like, I don't know if you know the story, but, like, it's basically this thing where it's, like, a computer and the camera rig all in this backpack, and just one person can wear it. But like what Dragon Force is doing is just the GoPro, I think, or something like that. And they're just,
yeah, that works.
Like, so you don't need to have fancy equipment. And especially if you're not touring, if you're just in your basement, just get a setup and you just get a laptop, just get a webcam and just do it. Like, especially for some bands, the more lo-fi, the better. Like,
yeah, for sure. But just remember, you have to say, can we get an F in the chat if you're doing on Twitch? You got to say that at least
with
once.
This next song is called... Just do that again. Can we get an F in the chat in that voice?
Someone's going to do it, man. You'll see.
That would be... This is accelerationism, man. Like...
this is accelerationism for sure.
All right.
Eagles rise up. Sorry.
What rise up?
Eagles.
Ah, yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of things that rising up, here's my penis rising up to this thing. Gent.
What the fuck?
You know how those like...
Oh, I get it. Yeah,
the metal comments. Oh, this song gave me an erection so large that I can see like...
made me preggles. This song made me jizz into my pregnant body.
Brought to you by Eden Kupperman's.
We're
gonna quality content. When you die from the coronavirus, we're gonna put that on your gravestone. Okay. There's a new Aversion's Crown track. So, Aversion's Crown, are they Australian? They're like,
yes, I think they are
from somewhere.
They are from somewhere. Yeah,
like not. Not the US. Okay, so they have a new track, The Soil. So Aversion's Crown, they started off as kind of like your regular kind of deathcore-y death metal band.
Yeah.
But they've kind of changed direction a little bit to just like focus more on the death metal and add it to this, not like full-on Fallujah, but a little bit more sauce into it, if I may. Say put it that way, with like just, you know, a little bit, some atmospherics, some kind of larger than life vibe and just like really, really heavy, really, really fast. And this new song kind of continues along that direction and is just really great. And it's just like a big energy, big mood thing. Like it.
Yeah, I feel like, first of all, they're from Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this fits in well with Fit for an Autopsy's album from last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly the same, but it has those same like big vibes.
Well, I feel like Fit for an Autopsy's kind of going for the more groove thing, where this goes for a little bit more of the kind of big...
techie thing, yeah.
Yeah.
A bit more techie.
Not even that techie. It's just like fast and angry.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I just, something about the sound, maybe because they're both Australian, but something about like the size of the mix and
it's kind of the guitars. Band that can't decide if they want to be deathcore or death metal vibe.
Yeah, exactly. But it's good. Yeah, I like this new single. I've never been the biggest fan, but they're always like, if you want something to headbang to and get pissed to, then they're always a good choice. And this new one is more of the same in that kind of vibe. I wish they would just like lose the cringy like deathcore aesthetic to the video, like burning crosses and like quotes about Nero. It's like, guys, come on, just update your aesthetics just a bit. But other than that, it's exactly what they should be doing, and it sounds great.
Yep. Along the lines of that, there is a new Sutra EP.
Mm-hmm.
Sutra are the Canadian project featuring, well, apparently no longer Kevin Paradis. Kevin Paradis used to be in this band. By the way, at some point, I want to talk about Kevin Paradis because like he's like in everything and he's ridiculous. He's in Benighted and what else was he in? Let me just look it up real quick in Metal Archives. Benighted, Mithridatic was his like big... project, Spark Crown, a bunch of things.
I mean, Bandcamp says that he made this album with them, though.
Oh, okay. I guess Metal Archives is bad. Cool.
Metal Archives is bad.
So the new EP is called Aletheia, and this is kind of I best describe this like weird tech death, but not in the like skronky or whatever that nonsense genre is. This is kind of more like I don't know. It's like if you took the kind of atheist cynic vibe of tech death and like went into the Fallujah direction.
And yeah, I think that's
their previous album was Dunes, and it was kind of like a more along those of like metal bands would love Eastern philosophy vibes.
Yeah.
And with this one, they've kind of diverged from that aesthetic a little bit, and for the better, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I think this one, I didn't really like Dunes. A lot of people in our circles were really hyped on it when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I did not really enjoy it, but this one is much, much better. Totally part of it is like the aesthetics, which are more original and interesting. The cover art is great. It goes like in more of the Greek mythology kind of direction.
Mm-hmm.
And the music itself, I really agree with your comparison. It's like atheist with more atmosphere almost.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. So if you're interested in like creative death metal, I would say check this out. I feel like death metal is kind of in a rut again, where there's on one side there's like the big boom of the what I love to call boomer death metal thing. I mean, like, I know the people who do it and listen to it are young, but have you ever seen people who make that music? They just look like fucking from straight out of the 80s. Anyway, the boomer death metal, and then there is the, I don't know, the tech death that is, okay, there's like two kind of streams of tech death. There is the one stream that is just like very unique leader core of just like bands that have a bit of a deathcore aesthetic, but also really a lot of notes. And then there is the, I don't even know what the fuck we're doing. We're just like doing a really weird, complicated shit. And I think this is closest to the third group, but some of that stuff in that third group has been, I don't know, just like too much stuff for the sake of too much stuff. And this does have a lot of stuff, but the stuff is a little bit more reined in, and there's a little bit more kind of a vibe to it, I would say. So I like it.
You should check out Sweven. Have you heard of them?
How you even spell
S-W-E-V-E-N. Apparently Sweven. It's like a continuation of a different band. I don't remember their name right now. Like a progressive death metal band. That was the name of their last album. And this takes it as the band name. And it's like super unique. It's progressive death that doesn't sound like anything, but also sounds like early Opeth in many ways.
Is this like from 2014?
No, there's a new one out. It's not out yet, but we have the promo.
But is it related to that, like, Morbus Kron
band? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Morbus Kron is, like, the band that released their last album under that name.
Okay.
And it's, like, a continuation of that project. But from what I understand, it sounds really different. It's super good. It's really, really good progressive death. I'm not sure it will be, like, your biggest, like, the most... the thing you love the most this year, but it's pretty damn good.
Okay.
and also, I just remembered Ingurgitating Oblivion.
Oh, yeah, there.
I need to go back to Vision Wallows and Symphonies of Light. It's like an album that's on its own, like, plane. No one is even close to that shit.
That shit is just, yeah.
Yeah.
Bonkers. Along those lines, I mean, it's not really... Oh, actually, let's go to this one. Yeah, so... Exist is a band that is very much in the kind of atheist vein of death metal. And Exist's bassist, Alex Weber, who is like really prominent, he's in a bunch of things. He's played with Jeff Loomis. He is or was in The Faceless. And now he has his own project called Svengali. And it's along these lines. It's actually pretty similar to the Sutra thing. And it's pretty cool. You haven't gotten into it as much as I have, I think.
Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely, yeah, along those lines of weird-ass tech death. And it's kind of similar to Exist, but I feel like with the last album, Exist kind of went in a jazzier direction.
More progressive direction.
Yeah, more progressive kind of direction, whereas this one just goes into, leans more into the weird side of things. So, yeah, check it out.
Yeah, and also, on the Svengali thing, not only Alex Weber, but also Anoop.
Oh, yeah.
On drums. And Charlie Aaron, who was also on Weight, which is another... it's not Alex Weber, it's...
Alex Weber is also in Weight.
Yeah, he's also on Weight. And it has Rafael Trujillo from Obscura. Oh,
and Max Phelps is in Weight as well.
Yeah, Max Phelps. That's the guy. Yeah, that's the guy I was thinking of. And what's his name? Kevin from Gorguts and Dysrhythmia is also on Svengali.
Yeah, it's kind of like a supergroup, essentially.
Yeah, it's kind of like a supergroup. And yeah, I haven't gotten to it only because I have so much to listen to. What I heard from it, I enjoyed. I just need to... it's very dense, right?
Yeah, you need to be in the right mindset.
Yeah, exactly. You need to dig into it.
Yep.
Cool. Speaking of mindset...
Yeah, there is... So the new Lich Gate EP is out. I can't really say Thus Spoke Zarathustra, but no.
Also Sprach Futura.
Yeah.
Fucking nerds.
It's so good, man.
It's like so fucking good.
It's feels very German somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. It's because of the way they use the organs. Like, usually organs are very bombastic and over the top, but here their tempo like keeps up with the blast beats and the tremolo picking. So that creates like a very Wagner kind of a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Without the Nazism, I hope. But it's so punishing, but in like its own really unique way. Different than their previous releases, by the way. They keep fucking reinventing themselves. It's pretty amazing.
Yep. And
yeah.
This band is just like, yeah, this band, another one of those bands that is just in a different plane of existence.
Yeah, no one sounds like them. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. And check it out. Also, Sprach Futura. If you're not checking this out, what are you doing with your life?
You're wasting it. You don't have long to go. So
yeah, we're all gonna die. this positivity is surely
fucking great. That's what people need right now. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. More stuff. So there's this band called Scarab, and they've been around for a decent while. Like, they've been... So this is kind of ironic to say. They kind of, like, do the Nile thing, right? They've been doing it for, like, 10-plus years. But they're actually from Egypt. and, like, they sing about, you know, similar themes as Nile. But, like, them actually being from there, you know, is a much more, you know, culturally palatable. Appropriate. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Reason to listen to them. I would say that they're not as enticing to listen to because, like, they don't have the hyper extreme energy that Nile have, but they have a different kind of groovier vibe, and it's really nice to see a, like, actually Egyptian band, you know, flourish, because yeah. You don't see a lot of bands from that region of the world.
For sure. Did you see, do you follow the Facebook page, We Riff in a Society?
Oh my god, that sounds incredible. No.
It's a really good page. It's run, I think, by some of the Angry Metal Guy folks, or Toilet of Hell, someone like that. And they just make fun of, like, you know, true black metal fans and all that shit. It's a really good page. And they posted a screenshot of this guy. So, was it last year that a band called Apep released, like, a Nile-adjacent album?
Oof.
And he's Apep, A-P-E-P.
Okay,
that's, yeah, like, the god of destruction, right? Yeah, it's, like, yeah, the yeah. devil. And this guy fucking rants for four paragraphs about why would you name yourself after the destroyer? It's like, shows you're not true to the mythology. He literally has no redeeming qualities. It's not like he's destroying the planet for it to be reborn. He's just a destroyer. Blah, blah, blah. It's hilarious.
What the fuck, man?
It's fucking ridiculous.
This page sounds like the best.
Yeah, it's really good. There's some really good shit on there. You should check it out.
All right.
Okay.
We do riff in a society.
Sorry?
We do riff in a society.
Yeah, we do riff in a society.
Speaking about riffs in a society, there's a new Blackground Initiate song.
Yeah, and it's fine.
Yeah, maybe one day they'll make something as good as Song of a Crippled Bull.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, it's not Song of the Crippled Bull, so...
But nothing is. I mean, The Great Mistake is a decent song.
Yeah.
But, like, their last album was... So, but this is cool. Like, this one is, I feel like Wes Hauck no longer being in the band contributes to this being cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Invitation, and it's, you know, some of their better songs, I would say. I'm still optimistic about this band. It's not that they've made something that they've made things that are, like, Opeth tier, like, you know, they don't have it anymore. It just feels like they don't have the formula down super exactly. well, and they're still trying to figure it out, even though it's been, like, a couple of albums. Like, they still show promise, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I think they've also, like, you can tell they're exploring, because the albums have sounded really different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Wreckage of Stars is so much more violent and face first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're still, like, feeling about, and once they do find that formula and lock it down, they can be really good. So
yep.
I also have hope yet for them.
All right. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I think we can do Cool People Time.
Okay. On one Cool People Time thing, I've been playing Ori and the Will of Wisps, the sequel to Ori and the Blind Forest that just came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so good. Like,
oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
I think Blind Forest was, like, really good. But, like, not S tier, if that makes sense. But this mm-hmm. one, like, is, like, truly one of the best Metroidvanias, I would say. Nice. Like, they've basically taken, like, what didn't work in Blind Forest and kind of rethought some of those aspects. And mm-hmm. what a lot of the stuff that didn't work in Blind Forest was kind of the more implicit things, like kind of the how the level design worked and just how the overall game was paced. And this game is paced so good. Like, I just can't put it down. And exploring the world feels so nice. They give you some... Obviously, they give you more abilities. But, like, the way those abilities... Like, you get, like, a grappling hook type of thing, which is really nice. But the thing is... And this is what I like about the best Metroidvanias. the abilities they give you are useful both for platforming and combat.
Yeah.
Like, sure. The grappling hook, you can... So, first of all, there's, like, a new upgrade system that is, like, directly lifted from Hollow Knight. I don't know if you played Hollow Knight, but, like...
Yes, I have. Yeah.
It's the system where, like, you know, you have, like, limited amount of slots, and you can put, like... you find new abilities that you can put into the slots, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they've added so many more, kind of, abilities that are not necessarily... You know, because in a lot of Metroidvanias, a lot of the abilities you get are, like, really explicit upgrades, right? Like, you know, a triple jump or, like, a dash or whatever. But the slot system lets them, like, give you more minor...
Modify them.
Yeah. So, like, the grappling hook, you get it. But then one of the slots lets you, like, grapple enemies. Like, for example. Interesting. Stuff like that. So, like, it's so good, and the pacing is so good. It's just, like... And all of the kind of minor... thanks, Siri. All of the minor annoyances in the first game have mostly been taken care of. And, like, the traversal was so smooth. Like, the key difference in the game is that... You know how your weapon was, like, fireballs that you shoot in the first game?
Yeah.
Here you have, like, a sword-like thing. And that just immediately changes everything. Like, it just feels so much more satisfying to fight. And also, they did this, like, really brilliant thing where... If you're in midair and you swing your sword, it kind of slows your fall. But if you hit an enemy, you stay there.
Oh,
so nice. You can, like, juggle enemies. And there's, like, an up thrust, a down thrust, a side thrust. And, like, it just, like, feels so much more satisfying to play. I just love it. It's super, super good.
That's great. So I also want to talk about a sequel. I watched Altered Carbon 2, the second season. It was nice. I enjoyed it. It wasn't as good as the first season by a long shot. I'll start with the bad stuff, and then we'll do the good stuff. So the bad stuff is, like, Killcrest Falconer, her actress. I figured her out, okay? And actually, Ronnie figured this out. She's a Broadway actress, right? She was in Hamilton and other stuff. When the scene calls for her to be over the top and grandiose, it really works. Like, spoilers... Tiny spoilers. There's a scene where they give her, like, the envoy test. And that works really well because she's in an arena and she's shouting and she's trying to, like, you know, sway people. She does really well there and she's amazing at that. But when she has to, like, talk to a person in a room, it sounds like she's reading lines constantly. And she's way too melodramatic and way too over the top. And her character plays a really big role in the second season. So that's a real shame.
Also, like, I feel like the writing of the character, I watched the first episode so far, though. I think the writing of the character is just, like,
is bad,
not in line with the rest of the world.
I totally agree. Like, she's not noir enough, and she's not punished enough.
Yeah,
everything rolls off of her, and yeah, she's not written well at all. Thing is, all of the rest of the supporting female characters except for one are also bad. Which is another bad thing about the season. Like, you have another AI who's, like, an Indiana Jones kind of person, although she's like, I mean, it's an AI, but she's performing like a woman. Bad actress, just bad. They bring back Elizabeth, like, Poe's protege, whatever, as like an echo in his mind. That actress is terrible. She's terrible. And also Danica Harlan, like, who plays the governess of the world, she's like, sometimes she's okay, but some scenes she's just so bad. So it's either, like, they cast for looks, because all those women are very attractive, or the director just doesn't know what the fuck he's doing, or the directors, rather, or the screenwriters, and they just keep writing really bad characters for these women. Because it's more than just one actress being bad, right? It's like all of them. So that's really disappointing. What else didn't I like about this season? That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
That was, like, my main thing with it. There were, like, other minor stuff, but that was mostly it. The good stuff, Jaeger is back in an interesting way. I won't spoil it. And actually, dude, they do, like, I know it was a book before, but they do stuff from, like, Nine Fox Gambit, where apparently Jaeger is, like, the ace in the hole that they keep on ice, the protectorate, and they resurrect him like every 100 years to take care of crises, which is really cool.
Nice.
What's his name? The guy who plays Takeshi this season, the guy who played the Falcon in Avengers.
Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie. He does a really good job. He's a fantastic actor. He also has that. I was worried because, fuck, what's his name?
From Joel Kinnaman.
Yeah. He did a really good job of, like, the dry humor, the morbidity, plus the brooding and the action. Punished. And Mackie does a really good job balancing those elements as well.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Poe. He's such a good character.
Yeah.
Really good actor. Does a really good job in the season. They do really interesting things with his arc. He has, like, his own storyline, which is really good. Trep, who's, like, the bounty hunter character, who's, like, is she on Takeshi's side or not? Really good. And in general, you know, the design continues to be fucking mind-blowing, like, the world, the tech, all that stuff, the clothes, the streets, really, really, really fucking well done. The action is still good, the choreography is tight. So yeah, overall it was good. It did not have the punch that the first season had at all. But it was good.
Fun fact, Anthony Mackie was in 8 Mile. He did a rap battle with Eminem. He looks so young. That's
amazing. Awesome. Good note to end on. You have one shot. Don't, how does that go? Mom spaghetti.
Mom spaghetti. Yeah, that's the line.
Yeah. That's the name of this episode, isn't it?
No. No, I'll find something stupider.
Thank you for listening. Stay healthy. Don't go outside. Wash your hands.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, when we're talking about the deep-throating doorknobs, I always, like, whenever people talk about personal hygiene, I always remember that scene in Parks and Recreation where Chris Pratt just, like, deep-throats the fucking water fountains.
The water fountain, yeah. Oh, God. That's so bad.
Yep.
Right. By the way, Community is coming to Netflix.
Yes.
If you want to rewatch a classic.
And there is talks of maybe there's going to be a movie.
You got to do it. 6 seasons and a movie.
Yep.
Got to do it. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Wrap around and gather.